The following presentation was recorded at Faith Builders. More information on Faith Builders events at fbep.org.
Well, I too want to wish you a good morning and hope the night was sufficiently restful. School is a complex undertaking. And one of the reasons that it's complex is because it involves a lot of different groups of people. So there's our board, there are the students, there's staff, there's parents. And for many of us, there's also churches that are in this mix and pastors. Someone, if our schools are going to flourish, someone has to take responsibility for what's going on. And someone has to take responsibility in a way that pulls these groups together. And I want to argue that it is the administrator that is at the intersection of time and resources and responsibility to bind these groups together. The integration of parents, students, staff, and board. Now, there's many factors in our circles that maybe don't necessarily put the administrator where I've listed him. And I want to talk about that just for a few moments. In some of our circles, we've had such a turnover of administration that the board has assumed responsibilities that really do belong with the administrator. But when you change administrators every other year, boards are going to start doing the work of administration. Okay, so that may be situations you find yourself in. Another thing that happens is that sometimes particularly in our smaller schools, we may have only ladies involved, and none of them are comfortable taking some lead roles. And maybe they shouldn't be, but we won't get into all that. But that forces someone else, often a board member, to take the role of an administrator. And yet we often, what happens in those cases is that they show up maybe an hour or two a week, and you know that you're not going to administrate with that kind of lack of presence. Another factor here, there have been puppet administrations in the past in some of our schools. Administrators who never really did much. They taught in their classroom and let all the other teachers teach in their classroom. And so even though they had the name of administrator, they weren't doing the work of administrator. So anyway, a variety of factors that have created a situation in some of our schools where we're not sure what an administrator is to do. And we're not sure that this is the ring that binds them all together. We think maybe it's the board is that ring. I want to suggest that I am going to argue here today for a strong role for the administrator. And one of the reasons I argue for that is because the administrator is the one who has given authority and is also the one that's getting paid to do this work. The board is volunteer. They're not going to take the time that it takes to do the work of an administrator. But someone has to, and I think it ought to be this person. So two primary roles for the administrator in this ring role, this integration role. The first is valuing the diversity And secondly, it's promoting the unity. We got all these different groups of people. And as an administrator, it's vital that we value the diversity of these people. Now, this is a wonderful opportunity we have as administrators to value the people and the uniqueness of the people that we have responsibility to, in the case of the board, and responsibility for, in the case of students and staff. So what do I mean when I talk about valuing the diversity? Well, first of all, it is just seeing all the different people that make up a school setting, seeing them as valuable. These people are worth something. Everyone, every student, every parent, every board member is valuable. They're all needed. They all have something to contribute. They all have gifts to bring. All deserve to be cared for as individuals. All deserve to have a chance to do their best. And all deserve to be a part of the action. Every one of our teachers deserves to be a part of the action, to belong to what's going on. It's not just the administrator. And everyone else are the servants and the slaves. No, the administrator's function is to bring value to all the people that are involved, that are related here. Part of this work is helping the people that we have responsibility to and for, helping them think about the gifts that they bring, the ways that they can contribute and make a difference. I find this is something that isn't happening that much. But it's something an administrator is positioned to do. Not just students, but also our staff. Let me give a quick example. A number of years ago, we had a teacher in our school that we were was doing okay, but it was fairly obvious that this person had a lot of skills, a lot of capability that really was not being realized in the classroom. And so as we began talking about what are the things... What are your capabilities? Where is your heart toward? What really energizes you? And as we began talking about those kinds of things, some things became apparent. We pushed this person to say, well, you know, why don't you pursue this? And in this case, it happened to be in the realm of science and engineering. And so this person moved out of the classroom, moved back into the classroom as a student, and came alive in ways that they never did as a teacher. And in fact, after a year or two in school, they started getting paid to do their schooling and wound up with an advanced degree in engineering. And again, just unleashed in a direction where they're going to be much more personally fulfilled and actually make much more of a contribution than they would have if they stayed in teaching. Well, this is kind of the work that administrators need to be involved with, because we're responsible for and to a lot of people. So we're identifying giftings, we're helping people to understand what it is, where they can contribute, how they can best contribute, and so on. But in addition, it's not just valuing the diversity, it's also promoting the unity. How do we help board, staff, students, parents to speak a common language? But that's part of our role, to bring this all together. And so a couple things here. This is going to involve, number one, an awful lot of listening. We're going to have to hear a lot. And so we're going to have to be intentional about creating opportunities to hear from the different groups. It's going to also involve, secondly, a lot of communication. Now, listening obviously is communication too, but here I'm talking the other direction. But there's going to have to be just a lot of talking to boards, staff, and so on, keeping them in the loop, keeping them in the know. This is what we're thinking about. And not just after decisions are made, in the process of decisions. This is what we're thinking about. Here are some ideas that are coming down the pike. What do you say? What kind of input do you have? And so on. This sounds like a terribly inefficient process, and it is. Communication and people binding is not an efficient process. It's going to also involve shared experiences of these groups, board, staff, students, parents, where there's things where they're together, they're working together, they're in proximity. And again, as administrators, we can help to facilitate those kinds of events. So it's not just isolated groups that have a point of connection. There really does need to be a time when they all are together. Now, that's just really sketchy, given kind of two categories here for thinking about the role of administrator. I want to particularly look at two aspects of this. One is the administrator's relationship here with the board, and then also with staff for a few moments. So if we could talk about our role with the board. As we relate with our boards, one of the things that is vital that we do is clarify roles. What does the board do? What do we do? What are they expecting of us? What are they wanting of us? What are we expecting of them? What are we wanting of them? I don't think that boards should be expected to do the grunt work of educational development. So let me give just a bit of a model here. If we think about the board and the administrator, the board needs to give authorization. If something happens, something new's happening, the board needs to authorize it. If maybe there's, you as an administrator, you have an idea about this or that or whatever thing, the board needs to authorize even the process of pushing into that idea. Not necessarily work on your proposal. They need to authorize the creation of proposals. Now, not always. If it's small, that's I'm talking about larger things now. So they authorize. It's the work of the administration to research. So you say, you know, our curriculum struggles. You may go to the board and you may say that. You say, you know, I think we have some work to do with our curriculum. The board authorizes, yes, let's make a project. Let's do some, we need a proposal as to where we go with our curriculum. It's the administration that does the research. They're the ones that do the grunt work of finding out what the options are, what the problems are with the current system, put that together, and then, so they do research and present proposals, which goes back to the board for decisions. The board, after a decision is made, it is the role of administration to implement. They implement decisions that boards make. And finally, it's responsibility of the boards. The word sometimes is governance. I'm going to just use the word verification here. So the board, they are given information out of which they can make good decisions. And it's vital that administrators give boards the kind of information that allows them to make good decisions. That means we have to be above board. We have to be, I didn't mean that in some kind of authoritarian structure. It does mean that when we present our proposals, we don't just give one side of it. We say, here are the pros, here are the cons, so that they can make good decisions. We don't go in here with an agenda. This is the way it has to be. Now, it doesn't mean we don't go in with our ideas and we don't argue for something, but we're going to be a lot further ahead if we can give all the negatives to what we're proposing. Say, here's problem A, B, and C. I understand that. But this is why we're proposing this. Let's take another scenario. What about a hiring? I don't know how your boards do this, but it seems to me that it is that the administrator ought to be the one who is at the center of the hiring and firing, if you do that in your schools, process, not the board. Now, the board needs to be involved. And so, particularly if it's key staff, you take your proposals to the board. The board authorizes, or the board makes a final decision on those staff members, but you're the one who makes the contact. You're the one who's looking over the reference forms. You're the one who is researching to make sure that this is the person you want to actually hire. You take that to the board, lay it all out, they make a decision, you implement it. Rather than the board doing all that work, and then this person winds up being more responsible to the board than they are to you, is what can often happen. Boards need to be empowered to make good, wise, godly decisions. The administrator is the one to implement and to make those decisions work. Now, maybe I'll just stop here for a moment. And I know that not everybody agrees with this particular approach to board administrative interaction. So you have questions, comments, rebuttals? Anything you'd want to say here or ask? Yes.
You said the administrator or the administration should be the hiring and firing entity, and the board should just authorize those decisions or make those decisions, authorize whatever. What's the problem with the board hiring teachers?
The problem, as I see it, is that a teacher needs to know who they are accountable to, responsible to. And if their initial interaction is with the board, that's who they're going to feel responsible to. And yet on a day-to-day basis, it's the administrator that they need to be responsible to. And I think it just begins to blur those lines of responsibility. It makes it more difficult as administrator for me to actually engage and interact with them in ways that can be helpful if they see themselves as more directly connected to. So that'd be the biggest reason, I would say. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Carry that out a step further in courtship. If a father interviews a young man and gives approval and then says, yes, you may date my daughter, is that not the board hiring son-in-law?
I haven't thought about that question, but let me. I would say. I do have a daughter that's getting there. I better do some thinking here.
The reason I ask that is I think, okay, maybe my board just didn't trust my judgment, or I was too sloppy in some of the research that I did on hiring. But when they hire, I mean, the board chairman has set up the interview and done the research, and they hire and say, we're hiring you to work for Clayton. And there isn't that. I mean, they all know who to appeal to if they don't like Clayton's decisions, but yet it seemed like they did the work, but still they're under me.
And I'm not saying it can't work, it hasn't worked or anything like that. I would, to go back to your marriage illustration, I think that what I would be, see, I'm very comfortable with the young man talking with you. Y'all discuss that. But I'm not necessarily comfortable with you being the one that goes to the daughter and says, this is what's going to be. I think that man needs to talk to the daughter. Now, you can be talking too, but the man has to take responsibility for the questions, for starting the relationship in that regard. And by the way, there is a major difference here. One is, the young man is asking for something here. In the case of a school, the school is asking to hire the person. The other thing I would say is, I don't see a problem with the board being very active in the process of hiring if the administrator is part of it. So if the administrator and the board chairman are together. So again, what I'm trying to protect is the role of the administrator being close enough to that so that the staff feels the responsibility to the administrator. And the administrator feels responsibility to take care of that staff person. See, that's the other piece of this that's very important. Who is it that takes care of the staff, make sure that they succeed and are going to do well? It's not going to be the board chairman that's in there doing that. It's the administrator. The administrator needs to take ownership of these processes. Yes?
So if we are in the other scenario where the board is in charge of all of that,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What can we as administrators do to maintain a staff relationship?
A very good question. I'll tell you this. If you've been administrator for 5 years in that school, it's going to be much easier to answer that question than if it's your first year. Because after 5 years, what you're going to find is that the board is willing to put more and more and more on you. Once they find someone they feel like they can trust, they're happy to actually move these things on. What you might have, the question then is going to be, how do I keep the board in the process enough, where they take enough responsibility? But so a couple things there. One is patience. Don't try to change things overnight. The other thing is that I think you can often appeal and say, you know, I'm wondering if it would be okay for me to be a part of this process. So you don't have to necessarily change the process, but could I be a part of it? Could I be present at the interviews and so on? So there may be some intermediate steps that would feel very legitimate to your board. But then just asking for clarification. What is my role? What do you want me to do? How many of you have a job description as an administrator? Okay, about half of you. That's one thing to ask for. Ask for clarification. What are you wanting from me? And so that discussion, you might say, well, you know, we've always done this, but you know, who should do this? You start getting into some of those questions, and then it may give an opportunity for some of that to move around. Does that help at all? Or do you want to follow up?
It's fine for now.
Okay.
I want to talk about discussion. And you're going to talk about staff later, right?
Yes. At least briefly. Okay? Yes?
I inherited a system at EFRA that I really, really like. And in hiring, I make the initial contact with a potential teacher. I interview them mm-hmm. once. That's a pre-screening. Mm-hmm. If I like them, I make a recommendation for a board interview. So multiple board members, past advisors come.
Yes.
But at that interview, I still ask the questions.
Mm-hmm.
And then I turn it back over to my board chairman for their questioning, and then the board makes a decision. But yeah, it's clear the whole way through that they're going to be working for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the board makes
the board decision. Has to sign off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or make the decision.
So I'm very grateful for that process being in place.
That's a great process. Sounds to me. Mm-hmm.
We do a very similar, you know, it's the person that makes that initial contact. I get feedback of, you know, oh, here's a potential teacher, there's a potential teacher. And once the administrator kind of gets that as a hub, it might be a patron that has a potential teacher idea. And if everybody knows that idea goes to the administrator, you're kind of at the hub of making initial contact, which tells the person, send a message right away who's in charge.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else here?
Those are spoken by people who have time for administration. What about the teaching and
okay, that brings us to number two. Ask, I'm not ignoring this, okay? I'm serious. Ask for resources. We ask for the resources to do the job. And one of those resources is time. You're not going to do the work of administrator without time. And you're probably not going to do the work of administrator in the time after you've taught for 6 hours a day. In fact, if you're married, you probably shouldn't do it. And you know, man, that is something we really have to think about and talk about. And that is, how do we one of the things I hear probably more from, maybe more from administrators' wives than from administrators, but is the too long hours that people put in, that their husbands put in. So this is a real question, and it's one that should be taken to a board. Say, help me make sense out of this. How do we, and that's not an easy discussion always. In fact, the boards don't always know what to do with it. Because we bring our own issues to play in these things. Some of us are perfectionists, which means we'll spend too much time doing some of the things that needs to be done. And boards, you know, they think about these things. Well, if you wouldn't take so much time to do this, you wouldn't, your wife wouldn't be complaining, and so on. But we do. We need to ask for time, and this is two places. We need to ask for time during the day to administrate. On a daily basis, there needs to be time for administration. Secondly, we ought to ask for time during the summers. Administrator probably ought to be a year-round position in a school, if your school can afford it and make space for that. It ought to be. That's when it's summers when you can do some of the grunt work that will not happen during a school year, but some of the big picture planning and so on. So ask for time. A second resource to ask for, and there'd be more, but I'm just going to home in on these two. That one is preparation. That's a funny resource, I know, but I'm serious about it. Administration is not something that, I mentioned this last night, we don't tend to have a lot of models of administration. So if we're going to do it, we first of all have to get pictures of it, know what we're supposed to be doing. I had one brother tell me that he said, you know, his board actually did give him a summer, paid him to administrate, you know, do the work of administrator one summer. He said he got there the first day, went into his school, sat down at his desk, and he had this time, you know, that he was being paid. He sat down, he says, I don't have a clue what to do. Well, we there's preparation that goes into administrating well. It takes work. It takes learning and continued learning. One of the things that bugs me is how much I forget. And I mean, I keep learning things that I knew, that I know that I knew, but I have to be reminded of it. And so I have to keep reading. I have to keep going to seminars. I have to keep talking to people, asking questions, and listening to sermons, and on and on and on. Just part of the process. Continued preparation, continued education, continued learning. Focused, for what we're talking about now, in the realm of administration. What do administrators do? How do they do it? We're going to have to be given this resource, and so we can ask for that. We can ask to be sent to, I guess, administrators' conferences. But there's many different ways that we can be prepared to do this role. So Phil, back to your question now. You hear what I'm saying? You're going to have space. You can't be teaching full time and do what an administrator needs to do. You want to follow up?
What you're proposing looks like a great business model, but it looks like it's the difference between the sole proprietor model versus a business that moves to the next level, a little more your corporate level. There's nothing wrong with the board and the administrator sharing responsibilities and working together, is there?
Okay, you're saying since the administrator doesn't have time to do it all, why can't the board do some of it?
In a sense, I'm also trying to say that when you do pay an administrator for full time, everything kind of ramps to the next level. Of course, resources are, you know, you got to put your tuition up or have more students or something.
Yeah. That's a great question. How do you make this work in our small schools? Because our schools are going to tend to be small as a whole. There's some exceptions here. But how do we make it work when it's a small school setting? And it's going to take some creativity. It's going to take, and maybe part of that creativity is pulling in some board members to do some of it. But I think even in a small school, you need to have someone who has vested energy and interest in making that school be what it can be, who has some time to give to that rather than just always focused on their 5 or 10 students. The board can do some things, but they're never going to provide, I don't think, that kind of focused, passionate energy that a person who is there day after day after day, feeling the interaction with students, feeling the interaction with staff. That's where you're going to be able to push the ball forward. So there is a role for the administrator, and you need at least some time for that. I also want to go on record saying that I think good administrators ought to spend some time teaching. I'm not trying to make a full-time administrative position here, but I am saying there needs to be some time for administration rather than 6 hours of teaching and then in the evenings you try to do some administrative work.
Well, I hear what you're saying, and I think you're right. I would have full-time teaching position and really do see a lack of being able to wander the halls and sit in other classrooms and that kind of thing.
If you can't get that, even if you can have at least some time in the summers to do some things, that can be at least an intermediate step. Somebody else want to follow up on this? Gerald, yeah.
I think to be fair to the board for them as well, is when they have offered these things sometimes in the past, they haven't felt like they haven't gotten much bang for the buck. Okay. Mm-hmm. Also, would be defending the board. Well, you know, we've done that. What happened out of that?
Yeah.
Fully agree with the idea of summers being very important. But there does have to be some sense of return and a plan. If we're going to be responsible and accountable, I think it would be appropriate for us to say, here are the 25 things I intend to do this summer.
Yeah.
And here's why I think 25 things are important. And I'll report to you at the board meeting about how these 25 things are going. Some small things, some bigger things. Things to make it easier throughout the school year. I think we haven't done well demonstrating maybe that we know what we are to do. And so it's this, I need time. Well, time for what?
Yeah.
Think. Well, to a board member who's a mason, he thinks all he's doing is walking, and you think, well, you're walking in.
Mm-hmm. That's very, very good. So when we're asking for time, When we're asking for resources, we need to give them specifics as to what we're asking for, and then to be held accountable to use that time in a way that is consistent with what we said. Patrick?
Tying with what Errol said, something I was saying earlier, is that number one here and number two need to happen together. As your board speaks to you about what they want you to do, it's at that point you can have a conversation about, okay, is this what I'm hearing, that this is my role, and they're saying yes, and you say, well, okay, now I'm going to need time to do this, and this is how much time I think it will take. So I wonder if we should marry conversations about roles with the one about resources.
It's good. It's very good.
So when you ask for time, how do you know how much time to ask for? I had a little different situation a couple weeks ago in a meeting with some of the board. They wanted to know what I thought, how much time is needed for administration. How much time should the administrator have for administration? That sounds like a luxurious question to have asked, but I'm not sure that quite is the way. But anyway, you know, they were thinking, you know, do we need someone full-time or part-time, I suppose. I'm not sure, but, you know, how much time should an administrator have? And I know it varies from school to school.
Yeah. And I can't answer your question. It does vary. The thing I would add, this isn't answering your question at all, but when we go and ask for time, I don't think it's just a matter of saying, well, this is the time we need. Now, y'all solve the problems related to it. Part of our asking needs to be, this is what I need. Now, here are ways we could actually free up me to do that. So we can be proactive about giving proposals that can work, rather than making them come. That's some of the reasons they resist some of this stuff is, well, we don't know how we could make it work without you, with you being only, you know, off a couple classes. Well, you come up with those proposals. Here's how we could make it work. And they're going to be much quicker to respond to that. When you propose, I don't know how you figure out how much time you need. Talking to your brothers is one of the ways. But the more important thing, I think, is coming up with a way how you could be freed for that amount of time. We're supposed to be done at quarter after, is that right? Let me get to this last of this section. The third, ask for accountability. And we've kind of bumped into that. Ask to be monitored. Ask them to check up on you, whether you're doing the work of the administrator. The categories that Gerald was talking about. You give you, this is the things I'm going to do. Now, checkups. And again, this is where that annual report can be a good thing. Here are the goals that we set for last year. Here's how we're doing with those goals. That's accountability. One of the things that I have to do there at FB is to write a monthly report to our board. They're not close, and so every month I sit down and just write up, this is what's happening, this is the bad things we're hearing, here are the good things, and here's the mediocre. That's a lot of accountability in that process, because then they're asking, well, what about this? When I do see them, they do. They reference those kinds of things. So let's ask to be held accountable, ask to be monitored. I wanted then to talk about leading the staff, leading the team. Yes?
Take some more time. I think we have at least 10 minutes that we can play with, push some things around. So
okay.
I don't know how much time you need, but feel free to take at least another 10 minutes.
Okay. Well, let's transition here to thinking about, set of our responsibilities to and with the board, what about the teachers that we're responsible to? And I talked about it as being leading the team, and I think that's an important concept just right off the bat. It's not the CEO of the group. It's, we're a team, and as an administrator, we're the chairman of that group. Now, that might be a little too little authority, it feels like, but not. We're a team. We work together, and it's a responsibility as administrator to keep this team working together. And so I've helped to identify the different gifts that the team contributes. Max Dupré said this about leaders. Leaders exist to absorb pain, not inflict it. Leaders exist to absorb pain, not inflict it. Now, what do you think he means? And maybe particularly as you think about leading your staff, what do you think he means here?
Take the blame.
What do you have in mind there?
Staff member that would be failing or negative feedback, it's your fault because you weren't on top of monitoring them and training them to do the job.
Okay. So take responsibility for what's happening in the school, even on the classroom level, and not be so quick to, oh, well, that's so-and-so. Yeah, you know, you have to go there. We provide something of a buffer. Okay, good. What else? What else do you think this means? What do you think Max means when he says this? Leaders exist to absorb pain, not inflict it.
I think we have to shield our teachers from parents. When they mess up, we need to negotiate with the parents and absorb that pain.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the buffer idea again.
I think it could be for the parents as well. When the student is struggling and with another student, and you know, parents feel their child's pain, how can we alleviate that up and work with that? So.
I'm intrigued with the statement because I think sometimes we can see leadership as asking people to do the hard work, and we delegate all the hard work of teaching. And whereas an administrator's role really is to serve the servants, it's to serve the teachers and free them to be able to do their work. It's to remove some of the distractions around, so that they can just get in there and teach with freedom, teach with authority. But we shield them from some of the distractions. We provide resources so that they can do their work. We give them what's needed so they're able to go in there and just focus on their responsibility. Not putting burdens on them that make it difficult to do well as a teacher. We inflict the pain. So that, or we inflict the pain, we absorb the pain so that they have more freedom in their responsibilities. Well, we can love our staff. I have two ways for us to think about, and I'd really like for this to be more of a discussion. And I'll tell you, we'll just focus on one of the two. I have two things down. First of all, a healthy work environment is one way we love our staff. We love our staff by creating a healthy work environment. And then the second thing is by being a supporting or a supportive administrator. Let's just focus, I'll make a comment about the second one and then we're going to focus on the first. There are a lot of things that our teachers need in us. They need, in their administrator, they need an advocate. They need a person, they need a servant. They need a resource provider in us. They need an administrator who's clear about expectations. They need an administrator who will train them effectively, give them the training that's needed to do what you're asking to be done. They need an administrator who rewards achievements. They need administrators who are willing to forgive mistakes in the classroom. This is a tough job. Teaching is a tough job. There's going to be mistakes made. And administrators who can forgive that, forgive when mistakes are made. Okay, we could go on. Let's go back to what does a healthy environment look like? For our staffs, a healthy working environment. Let's try to list some characteristics of that.
Joy.
Joy. Amen. Yeah. It's a place where there's some, I'm going to add laughter to that. It's just, we enjoy working there. There's times of laughter. There's times of fun. There's times of celebration. You break out the, in my case, it's the Pepsi from time to time. Okay, good. What else? And you see, there's nobody that can start creating those climates like an administrator can. Okay, what else?
Trust.
You talk about that just a little bit. What do you have in mind?
A teacher feels free to tell the administrator what the problems are. Mm-hmm. Teachers are free to don't feel like they have expectations, but they're not afraid to say where they've messed up, what they've done.
Good. You know, it's almost identical to what I have down here. I have the word trust, and then people can say what they think. They know that the environment is such they're not going to be penalized or cut off if they go ahead and raise an issue.
Another word would be safe.
Yeah, yeah. Good. What else?
I lectured my staff at the beginning of the year on being willing to disagree, and it's been a nightmare for our meetings because they last longer now, but we really get good ideas because, you know, before there was a tendency not to want to disagree with anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But we very actively hash out ideas and disagreement.
Mm-hmm. And you know, one of the resources that I want to suggest here is this one called The Five Dysfunctions of Teams. And that's one of the things he's big on. Okay. Yeah, one of the dysfunctions is a team that can't disagree on anything. Okay, good. What else? Healthy work environments. What do they look like?
I think one is rigor, an environment where it's healthy, but we're challenged to be a good team.
Yeah.
Not just a fun team, but a fun team that does really well. An environment of rigor.
That's right. And when you're in that environment, so you hear about what this other teacher's doing, and you find, boy, you know what? I could be doing that, or I ought to be doing some things like that. Kind of ups the ante. That can be a good thing. Good. What else? Yeah, I was wondering, how did you pull that off? That's
I guess our mother just liked the baker.
Okay, good. That's that celebration idea again. Positive work environments.
Good for emotional health, but not necessarily
physical health, yes. Paul.
So that reminded me of something that we did 2 years ago and we haven't done since, and I miss it, is we had, you know, a lunchtime that the staff ate together whenever it was one of the staff person's birthdays, you know, not just the bag lunch that we ate together in the faculty room, but a meal, you know, hot meal.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun. I mean, that was an informal time. And
yeah. Well, one of the things that you're picking up there is that it is important for the staff to actually do things together, and not just formal things, but meetings are important. We have our jokes about meetings, but meetings are absolutely invaluable. And we ought to think in terms of a variety of kinds of meetings. The informal meetings is one, but the early morning check-in meetings can be important. The weekly meetings, that's an obvious one. But then what about periodic, quarterly, or annual long meetings where you tackle some big issues? So times when it's just the staff together working on things. Anything else you want to say?
I think something else that helps create that safe environment is the lack of not having that mystery of who the board is and what the board does.
Mm-hmm.
Hoping to be that conduit.
Good. And so maybe even arranging sometimes some meetings where board staff are together, where there can be good interaction, and yeah. So maybe they need to show up for that after school cider and pretzel party sometimes. Well, there's a lot more we could say here. But this is the opportunity we have as administrators. Unlike just about anybody else in the school, probably anybody else, we have an opportunity to do something here about a work environment. It's a wonderful opportunity. How can we make a place where people just love to work? Chuck Swindoll, and I seldom quote him, but I heard that he said, if somebody comes to work in our church, we guarantee that they succeed. Now, I'm sure that the actual working out of that is can be messy, but I thought, what a wonderful idea anyway, or at least goal. And I think sometimes we have this idea more of competitiveness, that it's the teachers are kind of, we have our sphere and we have our territory that we have to protect. Rather than an atmosphere, we are for each other. We are going to help each other succeed. And as administrators, that clearly does need to be our goal. Every one of our staff, we're going to do what we can to help them to do well, to be a success here at this school. Well, let's just close with prayer. Father, being an administrator really is, it's an opportunity. You've placed us at positions where we can bless, where we can serve, where we can do things that... because of the authority and responsibility that you've given us. Now, Lord, help us to be faithful with that, not to use it to somehow lord it over, but to think, how can we liberate our teachers, actually just do well, and to be a success in their classrooms? So give us vision, give us hearts, give us courage, give us the willingness to absorb the pain that does go with all of this, though, as well. And we pray for this in Christ. Amen. Yes?
Let's just back discussion groups off to start at about 11 o'clock. And feel free to take your coffee and some food with you to your discussion groups. We have some questions here that Steve has generated for the discussion group leaders. But really, if what you want to discuss is what we've been discussing here, just go in that direction. So if these kind of tie in, but they're not directly the sorts of things we were discussing, but feel free to create your own discussion groups and questions and so on. So then we'll see each other next all together at lunch, I guess.
One other resource that I failed to mention, we talked about board relationships, doing good even better. This is a Minnow writer. What is it, Stays, I think, Edgar Stays. And this helps, I think, to clarify what is generally understood to be board and administrative roles. So, doing good even better.
Here, I'll give you one of these.
For the most current Faith Builders recordings, visit christianlearning.org. And for more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit the docforlearning.org.